Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. But tonight we're looking at Revelation 9 and 10. Revelation 9 and 10. When we get through 10 tonight, we are going to be at the exact halfway point of the study of our book of Revelation. When we left off last time, we left off with the fourth trumpet. We see that when Jesus describes when Jesus describes these times of trial, when Jesus describes these times of tribulation, when there's the judgment upon the earth that's happening, it happens in sets of three. There will be seven seals that are opened that describes judgment that comes upon the earth. There will be seven trumpets that are blown that will release times of trial upon the earth. And then there will be seven what's known as bowls of wrath or vials of wrath that describe. We've already talked about the seven seals. The last time we were together, we looked at the four trumpets, the first four of the trumpets. And by the way, I know I don't have chapter 8, the outline for you. Since we'll have a couple Sunday evenings free here, I'm going to work on 8, 9, and 10 to get us up to date. So I'll have that for you. Here hopefully by next week. But the last time we were together, we talked about four of these trumpets. We're going to look at two tonight, and then we're going to take a break because chapter 10 is exactly that. Chapter 10 is a break again. And if you remember, I want to talk about this in a moment, but to remember when we talked about the seven seals, and there were six, and all of a sudden God took a break. And it's almost like He takes these breaks as parenthesis breaks. And right as He's talking about these times of judgment, He lets us know, by the way, there's something going on while all this is taking place. There's other things going on, and God wants us to let us know that. Well, He does the same thing with the trumpets. He talks about six trumpets, six times of trial, and then all of a sudden, we're going to take a break in chapter 10. Actually, it's the longest break in Revelation because it runs from chapter 9, verse 14, to chapter 11, verse 15. So there is a break where trumpets aren't talked about, trials and judgments not talked about, the time of tribulation, that's not discussed at all. We're going to have this break as we get into chapter 10. Chapter 10 is one of the most interesting chapters in the book of Revelation, and we're going to look at that here in a moment. But let's look at chapter 9 before we jump into this tonight. And we've got roughly 15, 20 minutes, so we're gonna get through it here together. I heard a story though about a man who was in he was at a zoo. He worked at a zoo and he was always watching the gorillas, and he thought to himself, man, that's just kind of a nice life that they have. He came across a gorilla suit online. He went ahead and bought that gorilla suit. It looked very authentic. He thought to himself, I wonder if I could go to the zoo and pretend to be a gorilla in the gorilla cage, and if anybody would pay attention, if anybody would know the difference. And so that's what he did. He bought this gorilla suit. He went back to the zoo. He went into the gorilla cage, and nobody knew. He acted like a gorilla. He hopped around like a gorilla, you know, just did all the things that a gorilla did. He was swinging one day on the tire swing, just like those gorillas were, and he swung too high, went too far, the rope broke, and he went over all the people that were watching, all the gorillas in the cage. He went over them as they're watching this, and he went into the lion's area. He bounced into the lion's area and laid there on the ground, and a lion came running over to him, and he started screaming at the top of his lungs. This lion pounced on him, and he started yelling, "Somebody help me. I'm not really a gorilla. Help me. Get me out of here." And at that, the lion said, "Stop talking or you'll get us both fired." So that indicates that if that happens in a zoo, something is not right. And I tell you that just to kind of bring some lightheartedness into tonight, because we see right now in the world that something is not right. And I'm talking about as we read the book of Revelation, but it is very, very terrifying and traumatic. The world is not right. And we're going to look at, beginning with chapter 9, it opens up with the fifth trumpet. And we talked about these angels. There are angels that introduce these trumpets. And verse 1 says, "The fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven. The key for the shaft to the abyss was given to him. He opened the shaft to the abyss, and smoke came up out of the shaft like smoke from a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the shaft." One of the times that we did this study and we talked about this was we said, pay attention in the book of Revelation to the word "like." Anytime you see the word "like," all of a sudden John is saying, this is not exactly how it was. This is just the best way I can describe this. According to the times that John lived in, and we see John talk about horses, we see John talk about soldiers, and we see John use the word "like" in these instances because, again, it's symbolic. These are just the best ways that John had for the time that he lived in to describe what it is he's seen. And so he's saying this. He's saying, you know, it was like smoke from a great furnace. Verse 3 says, "Then locusts came out of the smoke onto the earth, and power was given to them like the power that scorpions have on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have God's seal on their foreheads." Let me stop right there and say, that who are these people that have God's seal on their forehead? Well, these are the 144,000. These are the evangelists that are going throughout the earth and telling everybody, anybody that will listen, repent. We've got to turn to God now. We've got to get back to God. So this is the 144,000. They are the ones that are protected right now, and nothing is allowed to happen to these people. They did not have the seal, God's seal on their foreheads. Verse 5 says, "They were not permitted to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment is like the torment caused by a scorpion when it stings someone. In those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. The appearance of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. Something like golden crowns was on their heads. Their faces were like human faces. They had hair like women's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had chests like iron breastplates. The sound of their wings was like the sound of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. And they had tails with stingers like scorpions, so that with their tails they had the power to harm people for 5 months. They had as their king the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he has the name Apollyon. The first woe has passed. There are still two more woes to come after this." Now, what John is seeing here, he is seeing an army of demons that's released from the abyss. Now, this angel that is able to do this, this angel that has the key, we see again. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. If you remember in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is talking with a demon-possessed man. He's having an interaction with the demons here in this man. And remember what the demons say? The demons make this comment. They said, "You're not going to cast us into the abyss before the appointed time, are you?" Now, this abyss that they were talking about is exactly this one here that this angel opens. It seems to be a place where Satan and his demons are kept. Actually, in Revelation chapter 20, we see this angel come back. This angel come back who has the key, who has the ability to open this abyss, because in Revelation chapter 20, after the tribulation time, after Armageddon, what do we see happen? That angel opens back up that abyss. He captures Satan, all his demons. He throws him into the abyss and all the demons, and he locks it for a period of, and we're going to talk about this, that period of 1,000 year, which begins the 1,000 year reign. So this angel has the ability to do that. But when he releases them this time, The Bible says they are like a demonic army that fills the sky. There's so many of them that it just darkens the sun. I'm told, I've never been there before, but I'm told at Carlsbad Cavern in New Mexico that if you go, have you been there, Beth? You've been there. Have you been there at sunset? What's it like? Because I'm told, or you know, I've read this, that if you go there at sunset, that's when the bats come out. Millions of bats come out of these caverns, and they just kind of darken the sky. Is that what it was like? Okay. It's very eerie. Yeah, right. Well, this is what John is describing here. He's describing this demonic army. They're not going to have the ability to kill anybody. They won't be able to put to death, but people are going to suffer for 5 months. Now, how are they going to suffer? Well, this army has the ability to attack people, and they have the ability to inject them like a scorpion sting. I don't know. I've never. Has anybody ever been up close to a scorpion? You have. Doug, I've read that scorpions, that more people can die in Texas from a scorpion bite than they can from a snake bite. More people die, and it's not so much that the venom is so much more poisonous than what a snake's is, but the interesting thing about a scorpion is that when they take that stinger and they zap you, I'm struggling with words tonight, Lisa, I don't know what it is, but when they get you with that stinger, they inject neurotoxins into your system, and that neurotoxin can cause your throat to constrict, and a lot of people actually die, not from the venom, but they die from just choking to death because of their throat being constricted as a result of a scorpion bite. And so that's really what we see going on here. They will torture people like this. As people are tortured in death when they are there bit by a scorpion, much like this, they will be tortured. And Revelation chapter 9 says the leader of this army that is going to be released is a person by the name of Abaddon, which is the Hebrew. And both of those words mean destroyer. Who is the destroyer? Well, John chapter 10:10 tells us he comes like a thief in the night, and his intent is to steal, kill, and what? Destroy, which is Satan. It's describing Satan here, the leader of this army, and it's opposed to God who comes to give life and give it more abundantly. Satan has in mind to do just exactly that. So we see right here the fifth trumpet is to release this demonic army that is going to torture people, not kill them, but torture them for 5 months. The sixth trumpet begins in verse 13 of chapter 9. It says this, "The sixth angel blew his trumpet from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. I heard a voice say to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, 'Release the four angels bound at the great river Euphrates.' So the four angels who were prepared for the hour, day, month, and year were released," meaning that there is a time that God has appointed for this to happen, and they will be released. By the way, these angels are the death angels that we saw in Exodus. Exodus, the angel of death that came upon the people of Egypt there, and the firstborn died unless the blood was put over the doorpost. We see that this is who they are again. And the verse 16 says, "The number of mounted troops that they used was 200 million. I heard their number. This is how I saw the horses and their riders in the vision. They had breastplates that were fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. The heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and from their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur." Pay attention to that word "like" again. It's not saying that's exactly how this was, but it was like this. Verse 18, "A third of the human race was killed by these three plagues, by the fire, the smoke, and the sulfur that came from their mouths. For the power of their horses is in their mouths and in their tails, because their tails, which resemble snakes, have heads that inflict injury." Let me stop right there for a second before I read the rest of chapter 9 here and say this. Let's keep count here for a second, if we could. How many people are in the world today? Well, I think I've heard there's about 7.7 billion people in the world. So if we have 7 billion people in the world, estimates have it that of those 7 billion people, 1 billion are Christians. So if we said 1 billion people are born-again Christians, when the rapture happens, that means that there will be left 6 billion people. Remember in Revelation chapter 6, we saw how many were killed right off the bat when the tribulation starts. 1/4 of the population of the earth are killed. So if there's 6 billion left over, what is that? Ron, help me out with my math. 1.5 billion people, I think, we're looking at will be killed, which brings us down to about 4.5 billion people left. If it happens tomorrow, this will be how many people are left. Now we're saying that there's 1/3 of that 6 billion left or so. Four and a half billion. If there's 1/3 left of the, 1/3 now that are going to be killed of that, we're talking about getting down to 2 or 3 billion now. So we begin to see the population of the earth decreasing as a result of what is going on at the rapture and tribulation time. Verse 20 says, the rest of these people who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands to stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, which cannot see, hear, or walk, and they did not repent of their murders, their sorceries, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. The greatest army, one of the greatest armies that has ever been on the face of the earth was Xerxes, the great Xerxes, who was the ruler of his army, the Persian army. He is said to have had 1 million people, 1 million soldiers in his army. In World War II, there were a total of 12 million soldiers that fought in World War II. 200 million soldiers, 200 million troops will be involved in what takes place when these angels of death are let go. The only army on the face of the earth that could back up 200 million right now would be China. And we don't know if it's meaning that there'll be a Chinese army that is used to do this, or if there'll be multiple armies put together. But can you imagine 200 million people? I'm told that if you want to picture 200 million troops, this is what it would be like. It would be 1 mile wide, 1 mile wide of people and 87 miles long. That is how many and how big 200 million in troops would be that are going to march across the earth and cause 1/3 of the population to be killed. 200 million. And as I read this, I was stationed on Air Force bases. So as I read these horses and soldiers and how they're described with the fiery red and the blue and the yellow in there, as I look at this, you know what I see? When I was in Misawa, Japan, we had two different types of fighter aircraft on that base. In Misawa, Japan, it was defended by the Japanese Air Self-Defense Force, and they had F-4 fighters. F-4 fighters, it's interesting, they'd always paint them. They would always kind of paint them all different kind of colors. They'd put teeth maybe on the front, to make these airplanes look really, really different. But the interesting thing about these airplanes is that I would come along the flight line, and you'd come along back behind the flight line, and you'd watch these F-4s take off. And as they went down that runway, it was just bright yellow, especially at night, bright yellow as that fire was coming out from the back of those fighters as they were taking off. Also at Misawa Air Base, Japan, there were F-16s. The F-16s were U.S. They were U.S.-based F-16s, and they were there to provide assistance or support if there was ever a war. If we ever went to war with Russia, those F-16s were there. And they were there because F-16s provide air-to-ground missile support. That means F-16s don't fight against another aircraft in the air. They fight against targets on the ground. So the missiles that they fire go directly to the ground. So you have the fire coming out the back of the aircraft, and then you have the missiles coming out the front of the aircraft, exactly like is described here. You know, when we see this this army that's taking place, I don't know about you, but when I read this here, I read exactly that. I read about the armies and the air forces that we have in place today that certainly would be capable of fulfilling what John is seeing here. John didn't understand it. He says it's horses like this. It's soldiers like this. I don't get it, but we certainly see it today. As we come into chapter 10, Real quick, I want to see this. It says, then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun. His legs were like pillars of fire, and he held a little scroll opened in his hand. He put his right foot on the sea, his left on the land, and he called out with a loud voice like a roaring lion. When he cried out, the seven thunders raised their voices. And I'm going to stop there for a second because this is where people disagree. Who is this person? A lot of people want to say it's Jesus Christ. It kind of reminds me of the story I heard about a pastor who was preaching a sermon one morning. He was preaching on Sunday morning. That evening when he came to church that night, there was a dear lady that had a bag of potatoes and she gave it to him. And she said, I just want you to know, I know that normal potatoes upset your stomach. I know normal potatoes make you sick, but I gave these to you tonight. These are rare potatoes that you should eat and be fine. And he took the bag of potatoes. He said, I really appreciate this. You know, he said, but how did you ever get the idea that I couldn't eat potatoes? And she said, well, you said in your sermon today that you don't disagree with some of the... But here's where I disagree with some of the commentaries that may be out there that say it's Jesus Christ. Because we talked about this before. The thing about Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ is revealed in the book of Revelation, he's not veiled. We don't see that. We see that like this person here. I think, again, the one that we're looking at here is an angel. You and I have never seen angels before, I don't think. I'm guessing this, but I don't think we've ever seen it. But I'm guessing if we saw an angel, we would think to ourselves, boy, they look a lot like God. I believe this angel that's being described here, I believe their name is Michael. Because we've said there's only three angels that are ever named in the Bible. One of them is Michael. And the reason why I believe it's Michael, because as we see this complete glorious display of this angel that can set one foot in the sea and one foot on the land and be in control like this and can just speak with this much authority and power, when we see this, you know who we're reminded of? We're reminded of God. And you know what Michael means? Michael comes from the Hebrew Micah El. El means to be like God. Micah, one who is like God. Michael, El. Michael, one who is like God. So I believe we're seeing the angel here, and the one that we're looking at here, boy, he looks a lot like God. If we were to see him right now, I think we'd say to ourselves, I think that's pretty much what I pictured God would be like. You know, that's what I pictured. So I believe this is who we're seeing here, and he has a message for us. And he has a message for John, and this is his message. It's very interesting here. It says that he had a loud voice like a roaring lion. And verse 4 says, and when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunders said and do not write it down. I don't know what they say. I don't think anybody knows. If we knew what they said, we would have seven seals. We would have seven trumpets, we would have seven thunders, and then the seven bowls. But we don't have the seven thunders, and the reason why we don't is because God said, I want you to seal those up. We're not going to write those down just yet. Verse 5 says, then the angel that I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. He swore by the one who lives forever and ever, who created heaven, what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it. Let me pause here for a second. He said, seal it up, you know, seal it up. We've seen this before in the Bible. If you remember in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, this is what God told Daniel. He said, I want you to seal it up to the appointed time. This is interesting to me about how the prophecy of God works. It seems like there are things that have been sealed throughout the history of time to an appointed time that God wants us to know about it. These seven thunders seem to be much like that. They're sealed up until an appointed time. I'll give you a good example of what has been sealed up to the appointed time. Israel. Think about it for a moment. D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, at the times that they preached fiery messages about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They talked about the second coming. They preached from God's word. And they would talk about Jesus Christ coming again. But when they preached it, one thing that they could not have ever understood was Israel. D.L. Moody didn't know about Israel, other than what the Bible said. Charles Spurgeon didn't know about Israel. They didn't know about how prophecy would be fulfilled through Israel. They couldn't have. Why? Because Israel didn't exist when they preached. In 70 AD, the Roman general Titus came in and destroyed the temple. There was no Israel after 70 AD. Israel only came back into play. They only became a nation again in 1948. So that time of prophecy, that understanding about prophecy, about what Israel meant and how Israel was going to play a role in prophecy, could not have been understood until the appointed time of 1948, which we have the benefit of knowing today and seeing Israel in a different light than D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon did. So it was sealed up until that appointed time. It continues on here and says in verse 6, "He swore by the one who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, and the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it, there will no longer be a delay." And what God is saying there is, I'm not going to wait any longer. There's not going to be any delay. The next trumpet is coming. We are going to continue on. They will blow his trumpet. Then the mystery of God will be completed as he announced to his servant the prophets. Just a couple more things, and I promise you I'm going to be finished. But I couldn't let this go until we talked about the mystery of God. The mystery of God. What is the mystery of God that is going to be revealed? I don't know, but I would like to speculate if it's okay. Because I believe the mystery of God is what is a mystery to all of us today. When you think about God, when you think about all the things that happen in the world today, what is it that really doesn't make sense to you? Think about that one thing that is a mystery. Boy, I wish I knew why this happens. It doesn't take very long for me to think about that at all. You know what I would like to know about? I would like to know is, why does evil prevail? Why do good things happen to bad people? Where is the justice? Why does wickedness seem to go on and on? Why does wickedness exist at all? That is a mystery to me. That now I know what the Bible says. We've preached about that. We've talked about that. But boy, I would really like to know the mystery of God in that. And the Psalm 2 says this. It says, why do the nations rage? Why does this continue on? The Bible even asked that question several times. I believe there's coming a time where God is going to answer that question. As a matter of fact, let me read Psalm 2:4, because Psalm 2:4 says this. It says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord ridicules them. Then he speaks to them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. There is coming a day where God will look and deal with what has gone on, and the mystery of God will be revealed. There's one more thing. Verse 9, to the end of chapter 10, says this. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take and eat it. It will be bitter in your stomach, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. Let me read that again. Take and eat God's word, because it's going to be sweet in your mouth, but it will be bitter in your stomach. You know, we've seen those words before, as a matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3. And I got to be honest with you, this is so true about the book of Revelation. I've got to be honest, there are things about God's word that I don't like to read. This is one of them. I don't like to read Revelation 9 and 10. I don't like to study. I don't like to preach Revelation 9 and 10, to be honest with you. I don't like to preach about sin. I don't like to preach about the wrath of God's sin. I open up God's word, and God's word is so sweet, is it not? There are things in God's word that is so sweet. The Lord is my shepherd. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Trust in him, and he will make your path straight. Acknowledge him. There are so many times that I open up God's word, and it is so sweet. But when we take God's word, we have to understand that those things that are so sweet to us can also cause our stomachs to be bitter. This is God's word. It is. And we have to accept that. We have to understand that. And I know Revelation sometimes can be a hard thing to digest. It can leave a bitter taste, a bitter feeling in our stomach. But this is God's word. It's sweet to the taste and bitter to the stomach. Verse 11 says, and they said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages and kings. I read that and I think how much that must have been so rewarding for John. John, as he's on the Isle of Patmos, he's been exiled there. And the reason why he's been exiled there is because he didn't die when they tried to boil him to death. When Domitian tried to boil him in hot oil, he didn't die. He couldn't try to execute him again, so he exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. John, laying there on the Isle of Patmos, I'm sure thought many times, I'm never going to preach again. I'm never going to have an opportunity to talk to anybody about God's Word. But we see here in verse 11 that the things that John saw and the things that John wrote about are preached about through the ages, through the years. We're talking about it tonight. His Word, what he talked about and preached on still goes on throughout the ages. And I think that must have been very rewarding for John to know.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30, but if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.